Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio, AFR. Thank you for listening. And co-hosting with me today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Great to be here on a beautiful spring day.
Thank you. Isn't it gorgeous where we are? And I think it's pretty all over the country for the most part.
Except today in the upper Midwest.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, snow. Enough.
I don't know. I think for the if I lived in those areas, what's being hit? Is it Wisconsin, Minnesota,
up in that area? I'm not sure if Minnesota ever gets rid of its snow all summer long.
Yeah, I think that's in the Book of Revelation, though. I think it talks about living in the upper Midwest and what you will have to endure, but that blessings are in the end. I think that's in the Bible.
We'll ask Jan Markell about that later in the week.
Okay. I could not do that. All right, Walker Wildman, how can folks engage with our show on the social media platforms?
Yes, we're on Facebook and YouTube, so you can go to both those places. Just type in the show name, Today's Issues, on Facebook, YouTube. You can watch the show both those places, and we'll post the news articles on our Facebook page. Lastly, you can visit our website, afr.net, and listen live there.
Hey, does Facebook own YouTube?
I think Google owns YouTube.
Is it Google?
Yeah.
Because I was reading the other day about the social media giants. They're concerned that they'll all be one very soon. They are all one ideologically. But I did see, Fred, where Google was losing. I know that's relative, but they were losing some of their rule over the search engine domain.
Inevitably, there's something else that comes along that creates some competition, which would be good in that realm. As you're pointing out, it's almost, not quite, almost a monopoly right now.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
I remember when we first, when the internet kind of first got started back in the 90s, Yahoo was the big search engine. Google came along later.
Yeah.
And kind of soared above Yahoo. Is that how we would say Yahoo?
Uh-huh.
Which is also a pretty good drink, actually. All right, so much to talk about today. We appreciate you listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Fred, what's leading the news?
Well, right now on onenewsnow.com, what's leading the news this morning is a story that I think most of AFR listeners are familiar with, certainly supporters of American Family Association, because we drew a lot of attention to this in the last several months. There is a Netflix show that was out there called 13 Reasons.
13 Reasons Why, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. 13 yeah, Reasons
that's right.
Why. And basically, it was a show that was a how-to on suicide.
Mm-hmm. Glorified it.
Yep.
Glorified.
Teen suicide.
And our own journal did a number of stories on it, really talking to some people who had experienced this kind of thing firsthand and the dangers in their own family.
Right.
And we warned people about it. We talked about it. This is very, very dangerous. Now, some people took that message to heart. But the story that's on the front page of One News Now this morning is this. There is now a study out, and here's the headline, and actually both Reuters and the Associated Press are reporting this. So this isn't something that we came up with.
Right.
Let's make very clear about it. The headline is, Kids' Suicides Spiked After Netflix's 13 Reasons. The study was done by Jeff Bridge. He's a suicide researcher at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. He took the lead on this. And they said that suicides among in that age group spiked 30% beyond what it was in that age group in previous years. 30%. And he is pointing the finger. Listen to what he said. The creators of the series intentionally portrayed the suicide of the main character. It was a very graphic depiction of the suicide death.
Mm-hmm.
He and these researchers are connecting the two.
Yes.
And we warned about this.
Yes. Not only does Netflix 13 Reasons Why show suicide, it shows it in a positive light as a viable option to depression or a viable alternative to depression.
For teens.
And teenagers, right? which is a very emotionally vulnerable population, as we all, anyone who has teenagers knows teenagers. They're going through all these hormone changes, all these emotional changes, all these peer situations with friends at school. But we've said this since day one of this series. AFA has said and warned about the dangers of teen suicide and how Netflix is making this issue worse, and they're provoking this issue. And then, by the way, there's widespread consensus on this issue that Netflix is doing some harm here. Mm-hmm. Even secular psychologists have said the same thing that we're saying. This study, which is not a right-wing conservative study, this is a neutral study, all showing that this series by Netflix is dangerous.
Yeah,
it's called 13 Reasons Why, and if you're a parent and your child has access to Netflix, do not let them watch this, because it takes characters in the series as teenagers, and the teens watching the series develop an attachment to these characters, and then the main character commits suicide as a option to getting rid of your troubles in life. And so we've used the terminology glorifies teen suicide, and we stand behind that. We appealed to Netflix to stop airing this show, and they've continued to do so. But today, as Fred said, you can find this at onenewsnow.com.
Right, right up front on our big window.
Onenewsnow.com. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, Netflix will see, they will take the show off, because when they see that, I doubt they will, but hopefully they will see what they're contributing to here.
Yeah, my question is, of all the topics that you can do shows on, why?
Right.
Would you do this?
Right.
Why would
you
do it? Now you have proof of the damage that this show has done.
Yeah.
So why would you even consider continuing it?
According to the study, suicides among U.S. kids aged 10 to 17 years old jumped to a 19-year high in the month following the release of the popular TV series on Netflix, which depicted a girl ending her own life. And the girl, again, was the sympathetic character in that film. You can onenewsnow.com. Check out onenewsnow.com. You can get that story. You're listening to, and rest assured, AFA, we've done all we can. I know many of you have helped us, participated with us, to communicate to Netflix our concerns and why they should not be doing this. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's return to the world of politics. One of the big stories yesterday was former Vice President Joe Biden held his first big rally, went to Pittsburgh, went to a Teamsters Union Hall, right? I had a look at this rally. They covered a lot of the speech live on Fox News and some of the other networks. And this hall wouldn't be any more than maybe 20, 25 feet wide. And so it showed a packed room. Now, think about that for a moment. You can pack a little hall. It's almost like a church hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it look like a big crowd. Now, President Trump gets thousands out to his rally. There were not thousands there yesterday. But former Vice President Biden was there, and the big theme of his speech to this crowd and to the nation, thanks to television coverage, was that the middle class in this country is suffering like never before. So here's a little clip of what the speech that he gave yesterday at the Teamsters Union Hall. Cut number one.
The stock market is roaring, but you don't feel it. There was $2 trillion tax cut last year. Did you feel it? Did you get anything from it? Of course not. Of course not. All of it went to folks at the top and corporations that pay no taxes. The number of corporations that pay no taxes now has doubled since that tax. Look, guys, this is not good.
You know what? He needs to drop out right now.
I was looking for a reason to get excited, but I couldn't find one.
That's the first I've heard of. Now, I didn't listen to the whole speech, obviously, because that's the first I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did he slur?
He did at points in
several shoots.
Yes.
Do we have that audio of him slurring?
We do.
I can slur.
Yeah.
I mean, we all, huh?
Sure, yeah.
We all can slur. And that's not,
I'm
just saying, maybe he didn't get a good night's rest. But when you reach his age, 76, and you start slurring a bunch, if that's what is going to happen in public, people are going to say, maybe he's not, maybe he's over the hill. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have a little bit of that if you want to hear that.
What?
The speech problems.
Well,
we'll keep an eye on it.
I don't want to hear that just for the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of making fun of the vice president, I don't want to do that or his age. I'm saying what we're all thinking.
Yes.
And that is
something to keep an eye on.
Is that if this is going to be a continual problem, it's going to hurt him because people are going to think he's too old to be president.
And
despite the fact that President Trump's only a couple of years younger,
72, I think,
maybe 4 years. Well, that's 4 years younger in the 70s is a big difference.
Sure. And, you know, but yes, to your point, it's what everyone's thinking. And we had a similar case. Well, we had a case with Hillary Clinton when she ran in 2016 where she kept tripping, falling, passing out. She was at the 9/11, the September 11th memorial, a few months, 2 or 3 months before the election. She had to get rushed off and taken to see a doctor. Anyways, but her campaign was silent on that. But I think the public was looking in that going, could she really serve as president? So it'll be interesting to see if Joe Biden's age takes a toll on him during the campaign.
That aside, to go back to what he was saying about the middle class has not seen any benefit from this economy. Now,
I didn't hear much support there in the crowd. Like,
no, there wasn't much support because they know that's not true. Because everybody saw their take-home pay go up because their tax rates went down. I mean, that was celebrated across the country. Stuart Varney is one of the business anchors at Fox and Friends, at Fox. He was on Fox and Friends this morning to dispute what the former vice president was saying about the middle class has not been benefited by the tax cuts that President Trump brought in. Cut number two.
He got several things wrong. First of all, he says the middle class is hurting. It's hurting now. I reject that. In the Obama years, median household income, middle America, income actually went down. First time, I think, in decades that had happened. Now, median middle American income is going up. Joe also went on to say, you don't feel it. The stock market is roaring, but you don't feel it. Yes, you do. 55 million Americans have a 401k. 35 million have an IRA. Most of those people are invested in stocks. They have benefited enormously from this stock market rally. I wish you wouldn't keep on with this stuff because it's factually inaccurate.
Yeah, that's a polite way of saying that the vice president was lying yesterday.
Yeah, if I were Vice President Biden, I would skip trying to talk people into things that we all know aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. President Trump and his policies and the tax cuts that passed in the Senate, couple years back now, those have had a significant positive impact on the overall health of the American economy. And guess what? Everybody knows it. So stop trying to tell me it's night when I'm seeing the sun, okay? I would skip that. I would go straight to I hate Trump. I would go straight to I hate Trump, who's with me. And let that be your rally theme.
Yeah.
If you're Joe Biden, that's going to garner him a lot more support than, hey, people, who's with me? I'm against the increase in money for households right. like yours. Oh, who's yeah. with me?
And this is the predicament that Joe Biden and others are in, and that is if you try to appear as a moderate Democrat, like Joe Biden is trying his best to do, that just doesn't resonate with their base. That's not going to win you the primary. Do pull in a Joe Biden. The Bernie Sanders...
Especially when you're an old white guy.
Right.
Which yeah, is, you got two strikes
which is
against you.
What the Democrats have been bashing is old white men for the past year right. or two. But Bernie Sanders' message, the radical left-wing Medicare for All socialist message, is actually surprising what's resonating with the Democrat base. So, but that's the predicament that Joe Biden's in. Is he doesn't want to move as far left as Sanders.
Yeah. So Sanders can overcome the old white guy
because
by being
message.
For free stuff for everybody.
Right.
By promoting socialism.
Yes.
But you notice the quote, moderate Democrats don't have anything.
No.
They don't have any. To credit Bernie Sanders, at least he has an agenda he's running on.
Right.
But Joe Biden there is bashing President Trump's tax cuts.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to resonate.
I would just go three words. You know, it used to be the economy stupid mm-hmm. for Clinton. Right. I would just go, I hate Trump.
James Carville.
Yeah. And do the I hate Trump Travel Across America campaign. I would hire Robert De Niro to come with me everywhere I went to fire up the crowd
mm-hmm.
and roll with it. I think that's his best shot. I think that's Biden's best shot.
But isn't it the case the Democrats have nothing to run on?
Yeah, and it's starting to show. You
know, go back to the economy for
nothing,
a second.
Nothing of policy.
No.
And not they've got I hate Trump, but that's about it. And the world's going to end in what, 12 years or 10 or 8?
It's dropped to 10 years, according
10 years.
To Better O'Rourke yesterday.
Okay.
It's all over in 10 years, folks.
Because of the environment. Because like oceans are going to take over the land and stuff
Yeah,
like
go
that.
Out and spend your 401k right now.
Right.
Because it's all going to be over in 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the problem. Go back to the economy. Reported by, not just by conservatives, lowest unemployment rate for Hispanics almost in history.
Yeah.
Lowest unemployment rate for African Americans almost historic.
Yeah.
So what do you got to run on?
I know.
What do you have to run on? Climate change?
Right.
Yeah, that's really resonating
yeah.
with your blue-collar middle-class worker out there.
You know, these rallies are really symbolic, are representative of how a campaign is going. And unless these Democrats can start getting, you know, a couple thousand people at these rallies,
mm-hmm.
remember Hillary Clinton couldn't draw a crowd.
That's right.
And so President Trump draws thousands mm-hmm. everywhere. Even he'll go to a small, relatively small town. He'll have 5,000 or 10,000 people at a rally.
Yeah.
But if Joe Biden, who is the quote top runner, for the Democrats, is getting 200, in a big city. That's indicative to me.
And if, like I said, we need to watch this, but if it's a continual problem of slurring words in speech, campaign speeches, that's going to catch on.
Right.
That's going to become part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Is he too old to be president? I'm
right.
just saying that's going to be, but we'll see. He does have the name recognition. That's obvious. Very high, having served 8 years under President Obama. He has a lot going for him. He probably got a lot of money behind him, but whether he can even get the Democrats nomination is very much in doubt because mm-hmm. for the reasons you guys have mentioned, he's not perceived at least as by the left wing base of the party to be, quote, progressive enough. And he's going to try his best. He's going to paddle hard, like a dog out in the water trying to get to the shore. He's going to paddle. Joe's going to paddle, going to be panning with all this left-wing liberal stuff. I'm, you know, whatever you want, I'm going to give you to the left-wingers.
Right.
That's what he's going to be saying.
And then your Bernie Sanders types always go farther.
Can you imagine if you're a Democratic Party strategist? And you're in closed door meetings.
Yeah.
That conversation. Do we want to back Joe Biden?
Right.
Because He's got a Hillary Clinton problem in that he's not going to get the young people's vote, which is what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Hillary could not get the young people.
Right.
She could not get middle-class America, which is why that Trump took Pennsylvania and Florida and those other states. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then they say, okay, who's next on the list? Bernie?
Yeah, no, it's not a good situation for the Democrats right now.
It's not.
They're not, you know, I don't know who can save them. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, just stay with Bernie Sanders for just a second.
Okay.
Some of the speeches that he's made in the past are coming back to haunt him. You know, he really was an admirer of Fidel Castro. Mm-hmm. And the Cuban Revolution that saw the deaths of thousands of people. He really liked the Sandinista guerrillas in Nicaragua. Can you imagine for a second? These are the people that you admired. And some folks are going back to 1986. He really didn't look a whole lot younger then, but he was. But he was making speeches at the University of Vermont. And he talked about, and this is going to be cut number four, Brent. He talked about his admiration for these, basically, revolutionaries. This is cut number four, Bernie Sanders, from 1986.
But I remember, for some reason or other, being very excited when Fidel Castro made the revolution in Cuba. I was a kid, and I remember reading that. And it was just seemed right and appropriate that poor people were rising up against rather ugly rich people. And I remember, again, very distinctly, a very distinct feeling. I was watching the debates. You remember the famous Nixon-Kennedy debates? That was the first time the presidential candidates actually debated. And I was becoming increasingly interested in politics, didn't know much, but was interested. I remember sitting in the student lounge at a dormitory watching the debate. And at that time, well, we can talk about Cuba now, I was very excited and impressed by the Cuban Revolution. And there was Kennedy and Nixon talking about which particular method they should use about destroying the revolution.
Yeah, so he was pro-Fidel Castro. Well, you can talk about what that meant, what that revolution was all about, and how thousands of people lost their lives. They were massacred. Mm-hmm. But go down and visit Cuba today.
By Castro.
Yes, and see where socialism under Castro has taken Cuba. I visited there back a few years ago, and poverty, third world country poverty, is too mild
a term.
That's
where socialism, that's communism too. I mean, that's, it's Bernie Sanders. I think that what you just heard right there, that's a blow to Bernie Sanders. It's one thing to call you a socialist and for you to say I'm for socialism. And you just say I'm for free stuff for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. It's another thing to say I was in favor of a quote revolution, where a man butchered thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And guess what, folks? Unlike maybe some region on the other side of the globe, Cuban Americans can tell their stories.
Exactly.
They're right here. In Florida and other places, and Marco Rubio has told his before, and I think Bernie Sanders can win the Democrat nomination. I don't think Bernie Sanders can beat Donald Trump.
No,
I think from my point of view right now, the only person that can beat Donald Trump potentially would be Vice President Joe Biden. But that's a snapshot. That's today, here and now. My opinion, which I'm glad you guys asked for. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back. Lynn Ingram, our cleaning guru from Abilene, Texas, is up next. And then we'll get back to the news stories of the day here on American Family Radio.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer.
And our 2019 theme on May the 2nd will be Love One Another, John 13:34. And obviously God is bringing his body of Christ together, and we're really, really grateful for it.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Len Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Heroes inside a California synagogue. That story coming up. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. When people speak of the terrorist attack on the synagogue in Poway, California, they will certainly speak of the heroes of that day, an Army veteran and a Border Patrol agent whose courage saved an untold number of lives. When Oscar Stewart heard the gunfire, he turned and ran toward the danger unarmed. He came across the 19-year-old gunman wearing a military-style vest, wielding a weapon. Mr. Stewart, an Army veteran, ran toward the killer, screaming that he was going to kill the man. The gunman was so rattled he ran from the building, with Border Patrol agent Jonathan Morales in hot pursuit. The synagogue did not have money to hire security, so the rabbi had asked Agent Morales to attend the services with his weapon, perhaps a moment of divine providence. Two men, Jewish Americans, heroes. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be here for another 57 minutes, and we appreciate you listening to AFR. Walker Wildman is with me, and Fred Jackson, and we will get back to the news coverage in just a few minutes here on American Family Radio. But first of all, you've heard us talk about Redeem Clean, and that the Redeem Clean story. Redeem Clean is the laundry detergent that we've been promoting. And if you purchase Redeem Clean, you also help support our ministry financially. So we appreciate that. And you get a great product. And joining me on the line, as he does every couple of weeks, is Len Ingram from Abilene, Texas. And Len is one of the co-founders and co-creators of this product. And Len is a longtime listener and financial supporter and believer in what we do here at AFA and AFR. Len, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. You can double amen that.
Amen.
We support you guys and believe in everything you guys do.
Well, you've been a blessing. You and Jim Duncan have been a blessing to us, and I appreciate it very much. Hey, let's, a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about related to Redeem Clean. By the way, Walker, before we get into these questions, Q&As with Jim, with Len. Tell our listeners how they can buy the product and try it for themselves.
Yes, you can visit redeemclean.afastore.net. That's redeemclean.afastore.net.
Repeat that one more time slowly because we have a lot of people live in the South.
Redeemclean.afastore.net.
You think that offended people who live in the South?
No, because we're in the South, so we can
make
critique
fun of
our own.
Make fun of our own?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Jeff Foxworthy made a killing making fun of people from his neck of the woods, mm-hmm. didn't he? Hey, Lynn, couple things here. One is a lot of laundry detergents are made somewhere else in the world. You guys are made right here in the good old U.S. of A., right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Any product that we develop for anything to support AFA should and could only be made in America. That's all there is to it. AFA is what America is about. You know, y'all had a dream. Your dad had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Was obedient to the Lord. He followed him. And, you know, look how y'all have blessed so many people throughout the world. And it had to be. Y'all are basically living the American dream. Amen. And we are all so blessed to live in this country. But, Amen. You know, Tim, in our opinion, with that, we have a responsibility also to protect these Christian values that we have, that what built and established our country. And y'all are a major leader in the battle to help retain those rights and encourage us to stand and fight for our faith and for our family. So any product to us that supports AFA had to be made in America. There's just no question.
Amen. Amen. Okay, this is springtime, and now if you drive by the parks, you see the little boys and little girls out there, and it's baseball season, it's softball season, and yeah. it's playing outside, and so you talking about we're fixing to have to ramp up with the stains and getting the clothes clean, the uniforms clean. How do you get out these kinds of, let's take a grass stain, for example. What do you do there?
One thing you need to do is you need to put it in there and soak it in soap for a few hours. You need to let it dwell. It's called dwell time. You need a chance for that detergent, whatever you use, to work on those stains and then wash it. I'll also have enough water in there to really get some agitation in there and knock that stain out. And enough water when it suspends those stains and lifts it off to flush it off. If it's overpacked, that dirty water goes right back in the clothes, and you'll have the smell and the stains in there. You won't have enough activity and action in the wheel of the machine to get it clean.
Now, when I was a little leaguer and I was pretty good, I prided myself on I liked a little grass stain or two on my pants because, you know, it meant that I was out there diving for balls, and I didn't want that washed away altogether, you understand? But still, you get the dirt and the mud and the grime and everything. And so Redeem Clean will do as good as any other product in getting these clothes clean.
Absolutely. And in West Texas, we have red clay.
Yes.
And you want to start off at first of the game being white. You want to wear your white pants.
Right.
But at the end of the game, you want to have a good red stain where you slid into home plate. Or, like you said, you dive for a ball. You know, it's bragging rights.
Yes. You want a dirty uniform.
Otherwise, absolutely.
Otherwise,
absolutely.
You don't want to go to Dairy Queen. People think you sat on the end of the bench the whole time. You know, you want people looking, you go, wow, man, he must have played a great game. Look how dirty he is.
Tim, can I say one thing real quick?
Please.
The two things. Number one, Shareathon last week, just to give you an idea of the impact of AFA and AFR, look at the broad base of support that you've got.
Yes, sir.
So many people from so many places. Number one. Number two is a lady came by our retail cleaners a while ago to pick up some detergent, and I told her I had to get out of there because I had to come and get on the phone with you guys on this interview, and she said good because I listen to those guys all day long. I listen to AFA and AFR all Amen. Day long.
Amen. So praise the Lord.
So just keep on doing. Please keep doing what you're doing, man. We love you guys and thank you for standing strong.
Thank you, Lynn. Take care, brother. God bless you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye. That's Lynn Ingram from Abilene, Texas, joining us right there. Again, folks, Walker, if folks want to try the Redeem Clean product for themselves, and or there's also other accessories, right?
That's right. Many different options. The easiest way to go and check out all the kits, we call them redeemclean.afa.com. redeemcleanafastore.net. Also,
repeat that again.
redeemclean.afastore.net. Also, Redeem Clean is on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook already, you just want to type in Redeem Clean, then you can find the page there.
Okay, well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I didn't know that. So you got red clay in West Texas, and then you got red clay in Georgia.
Yep.
And
you got some parts of Mississippi, too.
Yeah, got some red clay here where we live.
Down the Kosciuszko area, yeah. Mississippi.
Red clay stains for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's take a little break.
Okay.
For a second.
What are we going to do? We're going to...
Encouragement.
Okay.
I was reading an article this morning from Franklin Graham. He's about to have a series of crusades up in the Northeast. Now, when you get surveys of the spiritual condition of the country, when you talk about the Northeast, it's like, are there any churches left up there? Franklin Graham is going into that area next month, and we're almost there, May. He's going to hold a series of, and he's going to open up in Portland, Maine, which, according to the surveys, is one of the most least churched areas. But that's what he's been doing. Remember, he held a series of meetings up and down the West Coast last year. Thousands of people came out in Portland, Oregon, on that side. So it's encouraging. These kinds of things are happening. And Franklin Graham, well, he's no wallflower. You know, he's even more engaged than his dad was as far as the politics of the day and calling out Islamic terrorism. So be praying for that. But also, I wanted to bring your attention. We talked about this a little bit of our story meeting this morning. Up in Canada. Now, Canada right now has a socialist government under Justin Trudeau. Mm-hmm. But I think... they're holding a big federal election up there in October. I think there's going to be a fundamental shift back to conservatism. And one of the reasons I'm kind of optimistic about that is the leadership of what is the Conservative Party of Canada. Conservative Party of Canada. And one of their leaders is Candace Bergen. Candace Bergen. She comes from Manitoba. She is the opposition House leader. So she's one of the leaders in the Conservative Party. She got up in Parliament. It's going to be cut number 8. She got up in Parliament the other day to talk about the persecution of Christians. There are not too many politicians, either here in the United States or Canada, would make this kind of speech. Just going to play you a minute. Candace Bergen, cut number 8.
Once again, the world has witnessed horrific attacks against Christians because of their faith. On Easter Sunday, Islamic extremists bombed churches and hotels targeting the Christian community in Sri Lanka, brutally murdering more than 250 people and injuring hundreds more. Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. They're targeted by Islamic extremists in countries like Pakistan, Iran, and Nigeria, and by communist regimes in China and North Korea. Here in the West, we see a subtle persecution. For example, if you are a Christian in the West and you believe in creation or the teachings of the Bible, be prepared to be mocked and ridiculed by many, including some of your own political leaders. And if you have social beliefs based on your Christian convictions, you might be denied government funding. This is shameful, and as uncomfortable as it might make some, it must be called out. It's time we stand up for all religious freedoms. We must lead by example and reject all violence and persecution of people because of their faith and beliefs.
Yeah, Candace Bergen is her name, folks. And I think if the Conservative Party of Canada is elected this fall, you're going to hear more from her. But she did some things that we call out politicians in this country about. You notice how many times she said Islamic terrorists and jihad. Mm-hmm. She's not afraid to call them out on that. She made mention of Christians being mocked for their belief in creation. That happens here too, and we know that. And then she made the reference to Christians who live according to the biblical beliefs might not be able to get a government contract. And that is the case. Mm-hmm. If you say you're a Christian and you stand against homosexuality, you're not going to get a government contract in Canada. That's the way it is. And she's calling that out. So kudos to her. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, I hope this is an indication. We talked a little bit about this last week in Alberta, Canada, one of the western provinces. It's kind of, I describe it as the Texas of Canada. They had a pendulum switch politically speaking, from socialism to capitalism to conservatism just in the last few weeks there. So I think what's happening when people are exposed to socialism and they get through all the lies that get the socialists elected, they understand it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up in persecution against Christians many times. And so if you want to avoid that and fight against it, be aware of what socialism, be aware of what the secular media and secular governments are going to do to Christians.
Yes, and there's reasoning behind calling things what they really are.
Yes.
And throughout history, the only way to defeat an ideology or a belief system is to call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And these terrorist attacks across the world are pushed and motivated by Islam,
mm-hmm.
by Sharia law and the radical teachings there. So if we try to call it something else, then we're going to miss the entire point. So kudos to that representative there.
Yep. All right. Back to what's going on in our own country. We're well aware that the migrant caravans, as they're being called, are increasing, and they keep coming, arriving at our doorstep on our southern border.
Mostly, excuse me for interrupting, but these are people that are leaving Central America,
mm-hmm.
and coming up through Mexico,
mm-hmm.
In a caravan.
Yes. By the thousands.
By the thousands, knowing that when they reach the U.S. border, they're going to get into our country.
It's easy. They just say a few words.
And they come with children.
It's
like a free pass.
Yep.
Right. Because okay, so that's what we're talking about. But go ahead.
There are radio ads now running in Central America saying, "Come to the United States," because show up at the border, say these few magical words
right.
that the court
asylum,
has said.
Whatever.
Seeking yeah. asylum. They'll hold you for a few days, and then you can go anywhere you want in the United States. You can disappear. They won't even look for you. That's what they're being told. Well, now there's another element to this story. Fox News sent Griff Jenkins down to Mexico the other day, and he ran across some people who were not from Central America.
In the caravans?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, he said this whole migrant thing has gone international. Griff Jenkins ran into a guy from Cameroon, had a little chat with him. So we're going to play a little bit of this right now, cut number 3.
I'm from Cameroon, and my journey, I started from Cameroon to Nigeria, and from Nigeria to Turkish, from Turkish to Colombia, from Colombia to Panama, from Panama to Ecuador. From Ecuador, I start coming back now by a bus, and I come and reach back to Colombia, and I take my boat. From Colombia, I arrive to Cabo Ghana. From Cabo Ghana, I walk in the jungle. From Cabo Ghana to Panama in the jungle. When I arrive Panama, I walk now from camp to camp. I left Panama to Costa Rica. From Costa Rica to Nicaragua. From Nicaragua to Honduras. From Honduras to Guatemala. From Guatemala to Mexico now.
How many pairs of shoes is that?
Well, no. So. Not to mention frequent flyer points.
Yeah.
The initial one, country to country to country.
Are you telling me what he just described is how he left Cameroon and the countries he's been to
yeah.
to be able to get to this caravan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now he knows.
Wow.
He's embedded in there. He knows he just has to walk up to the border, do the magic word thing.
Right.
And he's in.
Your point is that now we've got people coming in from other countries except for Central America countries who are
mm-hmm.
who are walking into the U.S.
Yeah.
From
China.
And again, what happened too, folks, is when you remember when President Trump had to rescind. Okay, let me set this up properly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Walker, Fred. The law called for people to who were here illegally to. You couldn't, and they're in holding areas. Again, correct me if I'm wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
That you had to separate adults from children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. We all remember when this happened about 8-10 months ago or whenever it was.
Yeah, that was an internal rule for the Department of Homeland Security.
That preceded the Obama administration.
Yes, it's been here,
Trump administration.
Been here since
Bush. That preceded the Trump administration, going back to the Obama administration.
Yeah, and Bush.
Okay, so when you have people who come here illegally and you have to hold them, it only makes sense that you don't want to put adults with minors and with children because they... you don't do that in the prison system here.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
So what happened was they started separating them, and then it got turned into Trump administration separating adults from their children. Mm-hmm. Never mind that there was no way to know whether the adults were... The adult people, Hispanic people who were coming from Central America mostly, were the actual parents of those children.
Right.
And many of them couldn't even speak English. So there's, anyway. So you got that situation going on. That turned into Trump is ripping children out of their parents' arms. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And President Trump did experience some bad publicity over that. And he got hammered. From right, left, the middle, his own family.
Yeah.
Okay. So he changed that. He said, okay, no more of that. We're going to just keep them together. Whoever these minors are that are walking across with the adults, we're going to keep them together. Well, when you keep them together, then you have to just let them go. Then you have catch and release, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Am I right here?
Yeah, there's a 20...
To explain the problem that the president
they
faces.
They can hold the, quote, family units.
Who's they?
The government. Okay. The Border Patrol and ICE can hold the illegal immigrants for up to 20 days. After 20 days, no matter who you are, if they haven't deported you, then they have to let you out.
Okay, so they're claiming asylum right when they get here. I don't know what the Spanish word is for that. They claim asylum. Right?
Yes.
They know that in 20 days they're going to be set free to go into the U.S. never to be heard from again. So it's a good deal.
That's what happens.
And they're going to be fed and a place to keep.
Yes.
Although our system is being the facilities are being overwhelmed.
Yeah, they're overrun.
Because these migrant caravans know that they got an open pass now.
And to your point, the illegal immigrants, many of them that cross the border, they want to get apprehended by agents.
Yes.
Why? Because they get food, water, clothing, and shelter.
And medical care.
Medical care for 20 days, then they get let out into the mainland.
So they're probably just walking up surrendering.
They do, yes.
Yeah.
That's why you see, when you watch these videos of illegal crossings, they rush to get to the border fence, and once they get through the barrier, then they start walking.
Because then they surrender to the agent.
Yeah. Some of them actually go and try to find an agent. They go and try to find Border Patrol.
Okay, so you have incentive for these people to come by the thousands and thousands and thousands and get into our country illegally, and we have no idea who they come. They don't come back for their trials, their hearings. They just go to California or Illinois or wherever they go to. And so how do you stop something like that?
Yeah, one other problem amongst many is the 20-day rule is not is not law. That was a judicial ruling back from like the 90s. Mm. It's from years past.
It's not a law?
No, it's not a law. There is no law in the books saying that the federal government can only hold illegal immigrants for X amount of days and then they have to release them. That was one judge who said that, did a nationwide injunction. And so the federal government is abiding by that judicial ruling in releasing illegal immigrants into the mainland.
Well, again, the Democrats are doing nothing to stop this or to fix this, and the president has begged them to do so. And as I've said before, the reason, to me, it's clear. The Democrats want these folks to keep pouring into our country.
Yes.
There's an ultimate political objective for the Democrats. They don't want to... First of all, many of them don't believe in borders on a moral... They would say on a moral basis. Okay, so like Beto... What's his name?
O'Rourke.
They don't believe in borders or border walls of any kind. It's insane to most rational people who But these people don't believe in borders, okay? But the ultimate political objective here is the Democratic Party is you let these illegals pour in over time by the hundreds of thousands and millions. And I'm not saying these aren't desperate people. Don't get me wrong. And they're not human, and they need to be. We need to find some way to stop them. That's why the border wall is the best way, because if you build a border wall, then they don't come in the first place, because they're in Honduras or Ecuador, wherever they are, and people say to them, well, you can go there if you want to, but once you get there, there's this massive wall, and you're not going to be able to, the chances of you getting through that are, so that prevents people from ever starting out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's preventative.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is now, they're saying, y'all, America is a sieve. Okay. But anyway, let me get back to my ultimate political objective here. So the ultimate political objective, the reason they're fighting Trump so hard on this, and calling him a racist, a bigot, and a xenophobe, and all this is that once you get millions of people here illegally, and there already are, mm-hmm. but they keep pouring in. Then the Democrats, if they ever get an opportunity, mm-hmm. they give amnesty to all these people mm-hmm. so that they can vote mm-hmm. and become American citizens. Mm-hmm. And then that is the death of the Republican Party as we know it.
Yes.
Texas becomes blue. Florida becomes blue. It'll really be a choice between far, far, far left and far, far left. That'll yeah. be our choices. That's where they want to go with this in 10, 15, 20 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. So the benefit to the Democrat Party and the progressives, that's what they call themselves, is to get all these illegals in here. Mm-hmm. Then when they get the numbers, the Democrats, they give them amnesty. Mm-hmm. And then it's, as I say, then we become a one-party system.
Yes.
That's right.
That's what they want to do.
To prove that you're not just throwing out a conspiracy theory, in California, New York, Illinois, and a couple other states, they are already allowing illegal immigrants to vote in local elections.
Yeah. And why do you think the Democrats, Eric Holder and others right. like that, Stacey Abrams down in right. Georgia, who ran for governor, their raison d'etre, their reason right now, politically speaking, is to fight voter ID laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they don't want illegals not to vote.
That's right. Right.
Exactly.
That's yeah. right.
That's the reason they fight voter ID laws. What kind of rational thinking, common sense person goes, because you got to show a driver's license, that's racist.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what they throw at them.
That's what they throw at them.
Voter suppression is what they accuse
you gotta
them
have,
of.
You got to have an ID to check out a library book, for
right.
goodness sake.
Yes.
Huh?
To get on an airplane.
Imagine if you go up to the airplane and you try to get on the airplane without your photo ID, and then you say, hey, you racist bigot.
Yeah.
TSA agent, I want on this plane, and I don't have an ID to show you.
Right.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh at you and say,
sorry.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, you're not getting on this flight.
So what you're saying is, that's why these Democrats oppose voter ID laws.
Yep. And that's why they're
Because they want them to vote.
That's right. And that's why they're opposing a citizenship question on the census next year.
Yes.
I tell you what, folks, we live in a dangerous time, and some of this sounds crazy and even humorous sometimes, but the modern, not all Democrats, don't misunderstand me, not all Democrats would fall into this category, but the modern, quote, progressive movement in this country, which is taking control of the Democrat Party, they are anti-American, they're anti-Constitution, they are anti-Christian, they're God-haters,
yep,
and they want to crush us, is what they want to do. By us, I mean those of us who believe in the Constitution, the Bible, family values, Christianity, they want to crush us, and we're in the battle of our lives. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.